All right, what's up? This is D-Fuse. I'm back with you again with the Reconstruct Podcast. And let's see, it's Saturday night, and I am here with you, and I'm excited to be here. Let's see, maybe some announcements here. I've got the album out, the brand new album. It's an hour and a half of really, it's a journey up from melodic progressive all the way up to trance and techno and everything like that. It is called Psychotrance 2050. If you want to grab a copy, just email me. I'll send you an exclusive link at thereconstructpodcast@gmail.com. And I closed the last podcast with a real turning point in my life. And that was when the band Culture Industry shut down, and there was just nowhere else for me to go. I had graduated, paid my way through college, and finished that massive goal. It only took me 6 years. Don't get me wrong. I loved every minute of it. I was a bartender. I was a bartender on Sixth Street. I was a bartender in San Marcos. I had a decently big business in a mobile DJ company. We were doing mobile gigs and doing weddings. We were also doing things like, there was a bar called Fat Tuesday, and we were doing Thursday nights for $2 frozen drinks. And man, the 190 octanes were, oh my God, you only drink two and you were done for the night. And also a place called Copper Tank. And so we were kind of closing a lot of business and doing a lot of business. So that was cool. But you know, it wasn't really satisfying me as far as an artist. It was a job for me, and I was lost, and I didn't know what I was going to do. So what do you do? I didn't have a ton of friends that I transferred from San Marcos, Texas. A lot of my friends were still going to school. So what did I do? I kind of went clubbing, and that was cool. And I was kind of struggling for a while. It was hard to kind of connect with people. I would go out. I was DJing at Abrados and doing my sets there, where I would kind of lead people from hip hop and break beats and stuff like that, and lead them into trance as best I could. And I really enjoyed that. I love those nights. And I got to know a lot of people, a lot of the DJs and everything, and the bartenders and everything in the scene. And that was cool, but I was lonely. And I kept in touch with people. Let's see if I remember. Anyway, I kept in touch with a few people, and we would go out and everything, but there was nothing that was really clicking. And all of a sudden, and also, by the way, I'm writing my book right now. I'm writing my book. I'm literally 3/4 full with the book. I'm almost getting done with the Oakenfold times and the touring with Oakenfold and everything. So don't worry, it is getting written. It's just things get in the way with life, but it is being done. So this is not a full-on reading of the book. I use the book as an outline. So everything I'm talking to you now is kind of off the cuff. I use the book as an outline talking about it. So I met a girl named Katina, and worked together. We kept in touch, and she was actually a door girl, like a host at Pepper's, and she would do the front door as far as like you give people the menus and walk. And she was just very sweet and cool, and she was also a hairstylist. And so we stayed in touch, and she had a group of cool friends, and so I really liked hanging out with them. So when I wasn't DJing, I would go out with them. And for me and her, we kind of connected, and I liked her a lot. And so we would just get done up. I'd go out with her friends on the weekends. And for me, that was kind of the way I could be the same sort of rock star, is to get dressed up cool and go to the club and be the guy. Because generally I could be on the guest list for every club. I would generally get free drinks most of the time. I never paid cover. I had her on my arm, and she would just always look hot, dressed like she was just really cool. And we would dance and we would hang out. And I wasn't doing ecstasy at that time. I wasn't doing drugs at all. I hadn't done anything, I think, but mushrooms one time. I think I'd smoked pot one time. I'd never done cocaine, anything like that. And so we would go out, and we would just have such a great time. And I really loved her for that. And then we go home, and we'd even go out Sunday night. They would have an event with Jason Jenkins, and I'm not going to remember the thing off my mind right now. It was on Trinity, and you guys are going to kill me. You can email me about what it was or post it about the show, and I'll remember it maybe 5 minutes from now. But they had this super true 80s night, which was underground 80s, across the street from Vibrato's, and it was full-on, well-attended, and we'd stretch the weekend and go do that on Sundays. Once again, dressed to the nines, and we would own the place and just have fun and come back and just spend the whole weekend together, and there was never any kind of sex thing involved. We would just hold each other and enjoy each other's company pretty much. So that was kind of my thing, but otherwise, during the weekend, everything else, I was lonely, and I didn't know what to do, and I met another girl connected with from the restaurant, from Peppers, named Angela, and she was really cool, and we never really hung out, but somehow we got in touch, and so I talked to her, and she had a friend named Laura, I think. I'm sorry, I'm not remembering that. And I got in touch with a guy that had graduated before me named Chris. And so we kind of created this kind of four group. Like, it was, you know, me, Chris, and Angela. And so I forget what we called us, the Light Fantastics or something like that. But the way it came out, and this changed my life, because my life started becoming clubbing. I would work all week. I started a job. I thought, okay, well, if I'm not DJing, I might as well get a real job. And my friend Kurt, who I've talked about in previous episodes, that was such a big influence on me. My roommate, who I was living at the time still, we lived together for like 7 years over the years, pre and post college. He got me a job at IBM. And I was doing academic sales there. So during the day, it was kind of like Superman. During the day, I was doing sales for IBM. And then at night, I was DJing. Of course, that was a taxing schedule, but I didn't get paid much at IBM. I was basically kind of a paid intern, honestly. I make the IBM thing sound sexy. But yeah, I was like a paid intern that wore a suit and tie. But I would do that every day. And then so weekends just meant the world to me. And so we would spend the whole weekend at the house. And Kurt lived there. And then they all lived there too. And I'm sure he hated that because he was beyond clubbing. He didn't want to club anymore. And so I had these guys crashing on the couch. And but we would go, and we went to Abrato's one night. And we got there early. And we're just kind of hanging out. I got my classic, a Captain and Coke in a half carafe glass, and we're just walking around the club just checking it out. We would bounce between two clubs. One was Abrato's and one was Abrato's. Excuse me, did I say that right? Abrato's. And then there was another club that had opened up that was brilliant that was called Proteus. Now, this was a club that changed things in the Austin scene. It was a really amazing, like high-end, really nice restaurant on 6th Street. But because of its placement on 6th Street, which is kind of known more like the Bourbon Street of Austin, I don't know if it's like that now, but back then it certainly was, they couldn't really hold that kind of flavor back then. It just, no one was going to go to 6th Street to have some kind of fine dining experience. So it shut down. And so the owner, Daniel, wow, I'm remembering all this stuff. He talked to his brother and said, dude, I'm going to take, what about if I just take this space over and make it a club? And he did, and not only did he make it a club, but he was destined to, I want this dedicated to quality underground music. And he did. He wasn't going to sell anything short and make an 80s room downstairs, and he was going to make a disco room upstairs or anything like that. And it was just an amazing space. And I happen to know a friend of mine that used to bartend at an underground club when I was doing my band in culture industry that bartended there. So she would always get us on the guest list. And she was a really cool chick. Her name was Mira, short for Mirabella. Close friend that I knew her for 20 years at least. And we still kind of keep in touch on Facebook. And we were roommates for a long time in Los Angeles. Hi, Mira. Love her to death. But I'm maybe talking too much on names, but I was at the club early night, and this guy I knew from Southwest Texas was like, what's up? How you doing, man? And he goes, yo, what's going on? Hey, by the way, if you guys are looking for any ecstasy tonight, yo, bro, I've got some. And for some reason that night, I'd never done ecstasy or, like I said, anything before, acid, nothing. I thought, you know what? I'm 24 years old. I'm responsible enough to graduate from college. I've always paid my bills. You know, I think maybe I'm responsible enough to try drugs. And so that night I walked up to Chris and I said, Chris, this friend of mine he's got ecstasy. And he goes, what? And I go, yeah, I've known him for years. And he goes, if you want to do ecstasy tonight, I will buy it. Are you serious? Because I've been asking you to do ecstasy for 2 years straight. And I said, dude, I think tonight's the night. And he goes, I'm on my way. So anyway, it's like, cool. We all four of us drop a pill. And sorry for all the minors out there, or people or whatever. But this was, I will never forget this night. And people that do ecstasy, there's studies, and I've read up on this, that people that do pure ecstasy, they say they walk away from the experience better than when they left the experience, which is different than almost any drug that's out there. I think my mom's, my TV's on in the background. Sorry if you hear that. So we dropped the pills and we're like, you know, having some drinks. And then we decide to go, of course, to Proteus. We're only getting in at around 10 a.m. so we can get in the club and like hang out there and listen to some beats. And we walk up to the club and Mira's there bartending, always looking fabulous. And so we're getting some drinks and I kind of pull Mira over and I go, hey, check it out. I just did some ecstasy. And she goes, what? Because she knew my stance on drugs and that I was, you know, prude style. And I go, yeah, I did ecstasy tonight. And she goes, well, how much? Did you do a half or something? I go, no, I did a whole. And she knew what was going around the scene at that time. And she goes, you did a whole pill? And she got wide-eyed, and I got wide-eyed, and she got wide-eyed. And then all of a sudden, she looks to a friend, the bartender to the right, bartender to the left, and she's like, hey, John, hey, over here. Look, Sam, guys. Okay, he just did a whole one. I need you guys to be cool. Yeah, he just did a whole one. Okay, so everyone give him some water real quick. Dustin, I need you to go sit down real quick. And so I'm just sitting there going, it's going to be okay. And it was okay. All of a sudden, my vision started strobing, and I started getting kind of freaked out. And I didn't know what was going on. But when within about a minute, everything just sort of relaxed and the universe became this complete aura of peace and euphoria. And the biggest thing that I would say out of this moment was love, just absolute love. And of course, immediately I wanted to make out with Angela. We had never kissed before. And so we just start, we never kissed before, but we start making out. And Chris is like, guys, chill out. Use your friends. You're in control of the drug or whatever. But we were just in the moment. And so we kind of wanted to leave the club because it was too intense. And we went to Fat Tuesday and had a drink there. And we're just kind of, all in all, we just kind of walked the streets for a while. And of course, I'm just in this beautiful euphoric haze. I'm so glad Chris was there because he was guiding me the whole way. It did hit me too hard, but luckily I was with good friends and I was staying in control and really just wanting to hold it. It hit me too hard. It really did, but I felt safe. And I remember getting back, and once we went to a Brothels for a bit. I was still a little bit high and that was okay. But once it got to a balanced sort of aura, we went back to Proteus and we went up to the second floor, which was the main room. The sound system was kicking. It was slick. It was pumping. It sounded so good. And Herb in the day was one of my favorite DJs on the planet, bar none. I just loved Herb. I looked up to him. I thought he was a pioneer of the sound in the Austin scene, in the Texas scene, period. I really did look up to him. And at that time, I wasn't a DJ at all. And so we're on the floor, and it's like, all I know is Herb spinning. I didn't even know that much about him. I didn't know the DJ culture that much at all. And I'm just on the floor in this sort of just hazy, beautiful, just group of people, and everyone is kind of lifting their arms to the air, and he's playing these beautiful, like, kind of, it's like this really, it's a really hard techno, housey techno sound, edging on the sound of trance. It was hard to pinpoint. I didn't know how to coin music back then, but it was nondescript. But I can't remember ever feeling quite the intensity of that. And I remember just dancing. We danced till I think Proteus closed at 6 a.m. I think we were there till about 4 and we left, but we never left the dance floor for the rest of the night. And we went home and we just laid on the couch and we put on, you would think we'd come home and listen to more club music, but no, we put on just bands like Talk Talk or Simple Minds. Like just really chill stuff, and just talked about it. Talked about how much we love this song and why we love this song, and check this out, and things like Future Sound of London, ambient stuff, and then drifted off to sleep as the sun was coming up. Pretty much all together in my bed upstairs, just friends, you know. And I remember waking up the next day, and we're all together, and just feeling like we had all gone through something together. And I remember myself was the craziest thing, because I had just gone through a whole world of, I'd been raised in rock and roll, like kind of bred with soulful bands like U2 and The Fix, and I'm just like the Chameleons, 80s music, like stuff that had a lot of soul, bands like A-ha, which I love their albums. They've had 5, by the way, guys. And that was what I got into. Then I got really grungy and dirty and angry. And that was where I went. I went completely angry. You're like, how dare you? You know, and I don't know. That was just where I was going in life. And in that one flash moment, my life changed. And all of a sudden, and I swear to God, in one night, I was not angry anymore. I wanted to play something different. I didn't want to write music like that anymore. I didn't really even want to listen to music like that anymore. And from then on out, and to this day, I like it. I will put it on a shelf and go, man, remember those times? I still love this stuff. Like, it's cool to remember and be nostalgic about it. But I never got that angry again. I don't feel that way anymore. And that's how it made me feel. I mean, heady stuff, right? So I remember that. I became just the crazy club. That's what I lived for. Like Saturday Night Fever, like the movie, old school 70s stuff, John Travolta. That was me. All I lived and played for, or everything that I did for work and everything else, was to, man, have that weekend. And maybe it could only be 2 weekends a month, because I had to do DJ shows, I had to do weddings, I had to do the bars and the pubs and Fat Tuesday and stuff like that to make rent and make my car payment and stuff like that. But when that weekend would come, it would be my favorite thing, because I couldn't perform anymore, but I could be a superstar at the club. I could be the guy on the guest list. I could be the guy giving everyone high fives. I could be the guy dancing on the dance floor, saying hi to the DJ, talking to the DJ, asking him what he's been playing, what's going on. And so it just became this whole new thing for me. And I never put it 2 and 2 together until I got to Proteus early, maybe 2 months into this whole thing. And I saw a DJ named Filthy Rich. He's an Austin legend. He's still spinning in Austin, Texas. Yo, Filthy, what's up? And he's up there. He's spinning soulful. He's a black guy. And he was just cool. Back then, it was hard to talk to a DJ. Herb and I gets into a long story, because he was just a straight up jack dick to me. And I guess a lot of people in the scene. he was just rude, but I just loved him. And I would just go up and say, yo, I really loved your set last night. I walked up to him in a record store at Waterloo Records when he used to kind of run the underground counter there and stuff. I didn't care if he was rude or not. I thought he was freaking God. And we worked things out later after it became massive and started touring the nation and stuff like that. And he had to feature me on his wall at his record store with my own records. But yeah, no, we worked it all out and he's cool, but he was just my favorite DJ. And, but Filthy Rich was playing and I walked up to him and I just said, hi. And he was just so approachable. And he was one of the first DJs I saw play that just had soul. And he was playing this opening set and it sounded like an opening set. He wasn't headlining. And that was the first time going there that he was actually not trying to play like it was 1 a.m. or 2 a.m. or 3 a.m. or midnight or even 11 o'clock. He was playing at 10 o'clock at night and it was cool to hang out and sip a cocktail and hear him. And I had never heard a DJ do that in the underground sort of housey sound. And so I started talking to him and we got to know each other. And later on, we'll talk about that more. But that was the first time I got on the dance floor and started dancing. There weren't a lot of people in the club, but I just turned around and I looked at Filthy Rich. And I said, wait a minute, hold on. That's one guy up there. And he is the band. That's one guy up there. And he is the band. I don't have to worry about egos. I don't have to worry about competing people not showing up on time. I don't have to worry about bouncing ideas off of anyone and compromising what I want to do. I am the show. I can express my music through the turntables. And I don't know if I'm going to be that good. But that's the first time it ever kind of came to me that this could be an option. And it was just amazing, amazing just days at Proteus. And those lived on for, I guess, the next 6 months for me. And the DJ business kept expanding and expanding. I was very committed to that. And I ended up saving enough money. I'm trying to think if I got things in order here. But my biggest moment was at a place called Area 51. So Proteus shut down. And when Proteus shut down, and I don't know if that was, let's say, the time I'm talking about, if it was 6 months later, if it shut down, or a year later. As time goes by, nothing ever filled the balance. Nothing ever filled that void. I don't know if it ever did, really. Probably people would say that out there in Austin land back in the old school. Because it was just the perfect venue, perfect size. It wasn't too big, wasn't too small. And tight sound system. And it was just plush, you know, lots of seating. No bottle service, which is, I think, bullshit. But when it shut down, it just was a big sucking sound out of the entire club scene. And also, ecstasy kind of went away. They had busted a guy in Houston that was making the exact pills I was talking about that I was just doing. So a lot of things shut down. And I remember going to Area 51, which was, there were some fun nights there, but it was, the DJs just, aside from, I guess, Scott Henry, who was really, really take some dye or take a quarter, flip it up. You might get lucky one night. You might be really unlucky one night. But I tell you what, he played one set one night, and I still talk about it. He had a sampler on stage, which I thought was very, very cool. And he kept playing the simple, saying, enjoy this trip, 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 trip. Enjoy this trip, trip, trip. And he would play it into his set, which has given me that idea from here on out. So that gave me the idea to incorporate live drums and to put samples in and everything like that and speaking vocals in what I do my DJ sets. And he played this set that was just flawless and he had that in there and it was just awesome. But generally the DJs there, and I'll just be honest, were just, they're so not good. They were so not good. And we would go because we missed Proteus. And it was the only option to maybe sort of try to milk out some sort of experience that we used to get at Proteus. And it was really like taking blood from a turnip. It was very hard to do it. And the one thing, and I remember we'd go weekend after weekend, and the one thing, and I would see it happen every single week, because we were dedicated to try to find that experience, was when I didn't know what the song was, but I eventually went to the DJ booth and figured out what it was. But there was a song that would play, and it was the one song that would just freshen up the room, and it would have everyone with their hands in the air. And all of a sudden, this dark, dirty, freaking after vibe, after hour, sweaty, dark drug vibe would just change to elation and smiling and hands. And that was a song called BBE, 7 days in a week. And I would go to, we would go to Area 51, and I'd go just to hear that one song. And I'd wait through like a 2 hour set to hear that one song. And then I could leave the club at that point because it was going to suck after that. And I remember the third time hearing it, third weekend or second month, going there and finally hearing it again and watching the crowd, noticing the crowd, seeing the energy, feeling the energy on the dance floor while I was on the floor myself. I remember going, you know what? That was a changing point. I said, you know what? And I told my friend this. I said, you know what? I don't know if I'm going to be a good DJ. I have no idea. But I guarantee you, I could be a better DJ than this. And that's the shit I'm going to play. And he goes, okay. And from that point, I started searching for used techniques, 1200s, and then started my journey and tried to figure out what my DJ name would be. And I'm going to leave you guys to guess what it would be. Guys, this has been Reconstruct. This is Reconstruct 14. And if you ever want to email me, I am at thereconstructpodcast@gmail.com. And as always, I hope you're having a great Saturday night. And this is Defuse. All right. Talk soon. Thanks for listening.